I believe the second coming of Jesus Christ is God's final solution to all the problems of this world. That'll just solve it all when Jesus returns. But until the second coming of Jesus Christ, beloved, you and I, as Brother Chris said, are to occupy till He comes. We're to be busy in the service of God. And I, at lunch today, a brother from Missouri reminded me of something I said many years ago in a sermon. He said that I said that they name grandchildren right. They're grand. And I said that long before I had any grandchildren. But I had seen grandparents behave, and I knew it must be grand. But I know that by experience today. And when my first grandchild was born, it was a glorious experience. I couldn't begin to describe it. And it gave me a whole new reason to want to keep on living on this earth. My dad was 54 and my mother was 44 when I was born. So I only knew one of my grandparents, and she was bedridden all the years that I knew her. She died when I was about 5 years of age. She lived 100 miles away, so I didn't see her but maybe once a year. So I always felt like I missed a lot by not having grandparents in my life. So if it could be the Lord's will to bless me to be an old man and be around for my grandchildren, I'd appreciate it. I want to be there for my grandchildren. I really do. That's not the only reason I want to live, but that's a big reason. I want to be around for my grandchildren. And if Jesus Christ doesn't come back in the next few years, I'd like for this country to be a decent country for my grandchildren to grow up in. Wouldn't you all like that? I'll tell you, brethren, I know that the world's been in a mess ever since Adam and Eve sinned. The first two brothers on this earth, one of them killed the other one. So it's been a problem ever since sin entered into the world. But it seems like in my lifetime, our country has really gotten a lot more violent, a lot worse. And I fear for my grandchildren. I don't want to be paranoid, but I want to do everything I can as an individual, as a grandparent, a parent, a minister of the gospel, a citizen of this country. I want to do everything I can to help make this country a better country. And I think everybody here today needs to have that resolve. It doesn't take a lot of people to be salt. You know, when you salt your breakfast, it doesn't take a whole box of salt. But it takes a little salt, and we need salt in this country. I grieve when good people die, because we need good people in this country. And you and I today, by the grace of God, can choose to live in a way that will help to strengthen the morals of our country and the foundations of our country. I don't want to live in such a way that people will be glad when I'm dead. Y'all want to live that kind of life? I want to live in a way that they'll grieve when I'm gone. And the only way to live that kind of life is to live it according to the Word of God. I know this book is true because it works. The Bible was not written for you just on Sunday morning. It'll work on Monday morning. If you and I would follow the Word of God this nation could experience a glorious awakening and revival. And if we're going to have it, it'll come through the understanding and the obedience of God's blessed word. But that's a big challenge to try to help. Brother Sonny said this morning he didn't know how God would save America, but God knows how. But the question is, will he save America? I think that's a legitimate question. And you and I will play a significant role in that if we will choose to live a life that is according to God's word and in keeping with his principles. But as you face the evil and the sins of our time, the media, the influence of wickedness, it just looks like an overwhelming task to try to stand up for righteousness and have an influence for righteousness in our world. And the only way you and I can do that is by faith, living by faith and trusting in God, who is able to help us to do that. I want to turn with you this afternoon to a passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 3. Probably a lot of you have memorized this. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths." You and I are commanded in Scripture to trust in the Lord. And I believe that's what living by faith is. I believe when you live by faith, you are trusting in the Lord. Not trusting in your intellect, not trusting in your education, not trusting in the government, not trusting in our money, not trusting in our military, but trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, in 1957, our nation voted to have as its national motto, "In God we trust." I like that. What about y'all? "In God we trust." In 1964, it was put on all our coins. "In God we trust." I love that. And if you and I would truly trust in God and ask Him for help and strength, He will enable us to live a life of righteousness in the earth and be a part of the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I tried to preach on this text in Brother Obey's church in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania for the last sermon, because their church faces many great challenges. They're a young church, made up mostly of young couples with small children. They don't even have a building yet. They were able to buy some land, but they don't have a building. They meet under a little tent. They're the only Primitive Baptist church in Tanzania. They don't have any sister churches. They don't have any other ministers to come and visit to draw strength from, like you all have here today. They face staggering poverty, crushing diseases of all kinds. 40% of their nation is made up of Muslims. That little church is facing a challenge. And I encourage them to trust in the Lord, because God is able to take that little planting, that little gospel plant, and bless it to grow and flourish and spread all over East Africa. God is able to do that. Have you ever thought about the challenge that the 12 apostles faced when the Roman world was against them and the Jewish leaders were against them and Jesus was going to send them into all the world to preach the gospel? But I want to tell you, they went out by faith, trusting in God, and God blessed their labors, and the gospel spread all over the Roman Empire in the first century. They did it by faith. My money wouldn't have been on them if I were going to bet on the outcome. Just from a natural standpoint, I'd have said they'd be wiped out very soon. But by faith, they were able to overcome all of those obstacles. And it was said they turned the world upside down. Did you know you and I can do that today by faith in God? If we look at the obstacles and the problems and how bad everything is, we can be so overwhelmed with fear till we just give up and say there's no hope. Paul wrote the young preacher Timothy, who was no doubt struggling with a sense of fear. And Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if God doesn't give it to us, where do you reckon it comes from? It comes from the enemy, from Satan. He wants us to have the spirit of fear, poisoned with fear, paralyzed by fear. And I know what fear is. I have felt it. And it's an awful handicap in the life of a child of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he tells this young preacher, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I had a thought on that the other day. If I had to get up and tell you that Jesus Christ tried to save sinners but couldn't, I'd be ashamed of that testimony. But that's not the testimony of the Lord. He succeeded in saving everyone the Father gave him. But Paul is saying to this young preacher, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. At the time Paul wrote that, he was a prisoner in Rome, and it would be embarrassing to have a preacher in jail. But Paul said, don't be ashamed of my imprisonment. But be thou a partaker of what? The fried chicken and the apple pie of the gospel? No, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Oh, my friends, afflictions have always attended the gospel of the ministers of God in this life. But Paul is encouraging Timothy to live by faith and not by fear. Live by faith and not by sight. And if you go back in the Bible, you'll find out that God's children have faced tremendous odds through the centuries. When you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it is the faith chapter of the Bible. That term by faith or through faith is mentioned there many times. These are the men and women of faith who walked through history by faith. And they did the impossible by faith. You look at what those men and women did by faith. It was impossible for them to do that in the strength of their own body. But by faith, they did the impossible. They chose the imperishable. They saw the invisible. Faith is a great blessing in the life of the child of God. Faith is a gift from God. And as you and I receive this faith in the new birth, we're to add to our faith. And we're to strengthen our faith. And we're to grow in our faith. Over and over, Jesus said to his disciples, oh, ye of little faith. What about you today? I want to encourage everybody in the house to exercise your faith and to build up your faith in the Lord Jesus and to live by faith. Yes, there are those people there in Hebrews that are mentioned. Paul mentions, he starts with righteous Abel, who by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then he mentions Enoch, who walked with God by faith. Did you know that Enoch lived in one of the most evil times in all the world? It was so evil that God was going to destroy it with the flood. And yet here was a man who by faith walked with God. When the whole world was going crazy, he walked with God. Did you know you and I can do that today? I know it's an afternoon meeting and y'all are... I know that you ate well, but I want y'all to listen now while I'm here. Do you understand that you can walk with God by faith no matter how wicked the world is that we're living in? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, not a spirit of fear, but a fear of God, moved with fear, built an ark to the saving of his house. Faith is a powerful force in our lives because our faith taps in to the power of Almighty God. God is the object of our faith. And we're talking about a God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And then after the flood, he begins to talk about Abraham. Brother Sonny preached a wonderful sermon about Abraham living by faith. He offered his son by faith. He left the land of his nativity by faith. Yes, sir, this man lived a life of faith. So much so that the Bible calls him the friend of God and the father of the faithful. And then he goes on to talk about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And he talks about some of the women of the Old Testament who lived by faith. You just think what those men and women did by faith. When David went out to see how his brethren were doing in the army of Israel, he found them down there quivering and shaking like leaves in the wind as this big old giant Goliath would come out and challenge Israel to battle. Saul was head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel, but he was scared to death of this giant Goliath. But David, by faith, asked the question that needed to be asked. He didn't ask, how big is Goliath? How long has he been training for battle? How big is his sword? No, he didn't ask any of those questions. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That he would defy the armies of the living God. Now, that's a question that faith answers, brethren and sisters. And with a slingshot and one rock, he goes out and meets this great giant and brings him down. As somebody said, he rocked him to sleep. He planted one rock right there in his forehead, and he did it by faith. And you know why David's faith was so strong? Because he remembered something. He remembered a time in his life when God delivered a bear into his hand. And he remembered a time when God delivered a lion into his hand. And I want to tell you, if God can take care of lions and bears, he can take care of giants. And I want to tell everybody in the house today, God's got a rock for every giant in your life. Amen? Don't fear the giants. Trust in God. Live by faith. I want to tell you, this works, folks. This is not a theory. It's been proven thousands of times throughout history. You take our country. Today, we tend to talk about how bad everything is, the economy and, you know, and the war in Iraq and all that. I know there's a lot of troubles in the world, but I read an interesting book recently about the history of America from 1914 to 1945. In about, 30 years or so, this country, our ancestors, went through the First World War. In 1919, they went through the great flu epidemic when 500,000 Americans died in 1 year from flu. Can you imagine that? And then in 1929, the stock market crashed and the Great Depression started. 40% of the American people were without work, unemployed, soup lines everywhere. And then World War II started. And we talk about times are bad today. I mean, let's get real, folks. Times have been bad on this earth before. But I tell you what got that generation through all of those times, I believe with all of my heart, was faith in the living God. A generation of people that loved God and feared God. And I believe the Bible was paramount in their lives. What scares me today is that sometimes when you're right in the middle of something, it looks worse than it is. But I'll tell you, without God, we cannot make it in this country. God can take America to the woodshed just like He can any other nation in the world. We're not too big for God to judge. We're not too important for God to bring down. I thought about, as I was in the hospital with my daughter and son-in-law, and we were all praying, and the doctors and nurses were were heroically trying to save their lives. Oh, my friends, everything that could be done medically was being done for them. And we were praying that God would spare their lives. And thank God He did. But I thought about the 40 million and more little babies in this country who have been murdered in cold blood, had no defense at all. Let me tell you, that's a lot of innocent blood to lie at a nation's feet. We better be begging for the mercy of God and the grace of God. Now, let's get back to our text here this afternoon. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, when you're trusting in the Lord, I think that you get past anxiety. Jesus said in John 14, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." That just tells me that you and I can make a deliberate choice not to let our hearts be troubled. You don't have to go through this life troubled and full of anxiety. You don't have to do that. You know, we talked today about the churches and the struggle we're having. Look at that little church in the upper room. Jesus had just instituted His own memorial supper. And then He had washed the disciples' feet. And then He said, "One of you is going to betray me." There's nothing in this world more painful to a human heart than betrayal. And then Jesus says, "One of you is going to deny me." They only had 12. And now Jesus has identified two of them that are really going to be a big disappointment. And the disciples in that upper room, how do you reckon they felt when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me, one of you is going to deny me, and I'm going away. And where I go, you cannot go with me now." Don't you think you'd be troubled? But Jesus goes on in that very same upper room and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." I tell you, believing in God has a way of calming us down and blessing us in the midst of life's storms and trials. Are y'all listening to me today? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, what did Jesus tell them that was really going to bless them and comfort them and keep them from being so troubled with so much bad news hitting that little church in one night? Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, ye may be also." I tell you, the ultimate comfort for God's children in this world is the fact that Jesus is coming back to get us and take us so that where He is, there we may be also. I'll tell you, heaven wouldn't mean much if Jesus wasn't there. I went to a fellow's house the other day. He has a beautiful home in Birmingham, but he and his wife weren't there. And he had told me where the key was, but I wasn't interested in hanging around. They weren't there. That old house didn't mean anything to me if they weren't there. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if Jesus wasn't there. But you and I are going to go where Jesus is someday. And that ought to comfort us in this life. It reminds me of what Paul said in Romans 8, "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time." And I want to tell you, when Paul talked about sufferings, he wasn't talking about a toothache or a hanging toenail or fingernail, my friends, or a little headache. He was talking about real sufferings. You turn to 2 Corinthians and read the things that Paul suffered in his body, and you'll know that man knew what suffering was. I'd be ashamed in the presence of Paul to mention anything I've ever suffered in my life. He said he was beaten with rods and beaten by the Jews and stoned in Lystra and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and imprisoned and lied on. Oh, let me tell you, if you could have seen the battle-scarred and mutilated body of the aged Apostle Paul, he would have looked like a freak in a freak show, probably. Listen, when they stoned the man, they broke the bones. An orthopedic surgeon didn't come along and fix up all those bones after they stoned him in Lystra. This man knew what suffering was. And yet he says to the Romans, "I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory that will be revealed in us." I tell you, you get your mind on heaven and the second coming of Jesus, and it makes the cares of this life easier to bear. As somebody said years ago, it's like the shock absorbers on your car. It doesn't take the bumps out of the road, but it sure does make them smoother to ride on. It doesn't comfort me for somebody to get up and tell me that our God is orchestrating all the events of this world like a puppeteer, and He's making all these tragedies and wicked things and sins fit together and work together down here. That doesn't comfort me. What comforts me is that the Bible says when Jesus comes back, all of His children are going home to glory to be with Him forever. One of our hymns says, just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Do y'all believe that today? Listen, friends, heaven is it's going to be going on a long time. As a matter of fact, it is endless. And in the light of eternity, the troubles and trials of this life become bearable. And when you trust in God and lean on the everlasting arms, it makes heaven very real to you in this present life. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I was with Brother Charles Whitten the other day, and he had just lost his 42-year-old son in a tragic accident in Washington, D.C. His son was crossing a street that he crossed every day, and a careless driver hit him. And 13 days later, the young man died in a hospital in Washington, D.C. In 1982, Brother Charles lost his other son, 29 years of age, in a car crash. And he told me as we were in the hospital, he said, in Washington, our hearts were so troubled and burdened about this accident and the condition of our son. But he said, my wife and I have learned to draw strength from God, and we were experiencing a peace that passes understanding. And he said a lot of our family and relatives were torn, and they were panicky and full of anxiety and falling to pieces. And they wondered how we could be so calm. I want to tell you, my friends, faith in God is a reality in the lives of God's children. It'll do you more good than all the beer and alcohol in Atlanta, Georgia. People go to the honky-tonks to forget their troubles, and they leave with more than they went there with. I want to tell you, if you live by faith and trust in God, you'll have a peace and a calmness this world knows nothing about. Have any of y'all ever experienced what I'm talking about today? It's real, folks. But the devil doesn't want you in peace. He wants you in turmoil. He wants you full of anxiety. Anxiety, that's an awful thing to experience in this life. Paul said to the Philippians, he says, be careful for nothing. But he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He didn't say rejoice in your circumstances, but rejoice in the Lord. A man would have to be crazy to rejoice that his son is lying at death's door. A man would have to be crazy that his house just burned, to rejoice that his house just burned down. No, we don't rejoice in all our circumstances, but we rejoice in the Lord. Because you see, the Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you can rejoice in Him this morning, you can rejoice in Him this afternoon, because He hadn't changed. And you need to get fixed on God and have your faith anchored in Him. And it'll bring you a joy that Paul talked about when he wrote from a Roman dungeon and said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep. That is, guard your mind and your heart through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said over and over, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. It's wonderful to see God's people that are cheerful. Do y'all like to be around cheerful people that are happy in the Lord and rejoicing in the God of our salvation? Rejoice in His love. Rejoice in His holiness. Rejoice in His grace. I really do rejoice in His mercy. I'm telling you, I use up every bit He's got for me today. That's why it has to be new every morning. I rejoice that our God is a God of mercy. He's a God of faithfulness. He's a holy God. Aren't you glad our God is not evil and wicked, but He's a holy God? Do y'all rejoice in the Lord? Just think about Him today, brethren and sisters. He made this universe of ours. Don't you think we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which He has said in His Word and listen to Him? If He made the universe, You know, Paul said in Hebrews 2, writing to the Hebrews, he never got to minister to the Hebrews much, but I believe God blessed him to write a book to the Hebrews. You know, he said in Romans 10, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wanted to save them from ignorance. And I believe God blessed him to write a glorious book, the book of Hebrews. And he said to them in chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now Paul is writing to the Hebrews and pleading with them. And first of all, he acknowledges the validity of the Jewish prophets. He acknowledges that God spoke through them in many ways and on many different occasions. But now he's going to show us that Jesus Christ is God's final word to this world, hath in these last days. And I believe we've been in the last days since Jesus was on this earth. And he says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Beloved, this is God's word to us. And you can count on God's word. Now notice what Paul said about Jesus Christ, who has spoken to us in these last days. He says that he's been made heir of all things. No, he's been made heir of all things, by all, also he made the worlds. Have you ever wondered in your mind why a person who can make all things would need to inherit anything? Jesus Christ was present when the worlds were made. John said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him that was made, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ was present when the universe was created. And do y'all know what a job that was? I've been enjoying studying astronomy some lately. And I'm studying the earth and how it's tilted on its axis so we have the four seasons of the year. And it's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour on its axis. And the moon is orbiting the earth while all this is going on. And it has a powerful effect on our planet. And then the moon and the earth is orbiting the sun at 10,000 miles an hour. Did y'all know y'all were moving that fast right now? You can't even tell you're moving. I want to tell you, God created a magnificent universe. When I was living over the coast of North Carolina, they had a museum there dealing with the ocean. And they had a model that showed the moon orbiting the earth and the moon and the earth orbiting the sun. And I just stood there in amazement. That is incredible, my friends. Y'all know what a great God we worship? That all didn't happen by accident. This universe is working with more precision than my wristwatch is this afternoon. Y'all believe this wristwatch happened by accident? If y'all believe a wristwatch like mine, it's a pretty nice watch. Nelda gave it to me for Christmas. It keeps good time. How many of y'all could believe it just came together by accident? She found it in the backyard. Now, if you raise your hand, I'm going to stop right now. And we're going to call 911 because somebody, that person that out of touch with reality needs help immediately. Wouldn't y'all agree? They need to be in a padded cell somewhere. And yet we have so-called brains today who want us to believe that the universe is here by random chance. That's idiotic, folks. Now, Paul is telling these Hebrews, the one that God has spoken to us through, his Son, he made the universe through him. Don't you want to sit up and listen to something that God would say? That's not Sam Bryant saying, that's God. You know, we worship geniuses in our world. Albert Einstein is almost idolized today by multitudes, and Einstein was a brilliant man. But the God we worship was infinitely more intelligent than Einstein was. And he gave us this marvelous book. I want to listen to something the Creator had to say. And then not only did he make the worlds, but Paul said he's been made heir of all things. Why would anybody who make all things would need to inherit anything? Most of us in this life wouldn't care if we inherited something. Most of us would find a use for it. Why would Jesus Christ need to inherit anything? After all, as the Creator, He owns it all, and He can make anything He wants. I'll tell you why. The two natures of the Son of God to understand that text. As God's eternal Son, He created the universe. But as Mary's Son, He came to this earth, and the Word was made flesh. And He was born in a barn, where the animals were and the stench of the animals were. My little grandchildren were born in a nice, sterile hospital. The Son of God, Mary's Son, was born in a barn. And His mother wrapped Him in rags. And He grew up in poverty. His parents were so broke they had to offer a turtle dove. The law said if you can't offer a lamb, you can go out and catch a dove and bring it. And that's what they had to offer. That's Jesus chose His parents, and that's the kind He chose. He said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. As the Son of God, He made the birds, He made the foxes, and He gave them their homes. But He says the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Jesus Christ loved you and me so much, He gave up all of His riches and glory and came to a level of poverty that Africa couldn't relate to today. Are y'all listening to me? This is true, what I'm telling y'all today. It's not a fairy tale. He was so poor, the only thing He owned on this earth was the robe He wore, and they stole that from Him at Calvary and gambled for it at the foot of the cross. And in naked shame, the Son of God died for your sins and mine. He was so poor, He had to borrow a rich man's grave to be buried in. But I got some good news for y'all today. 3 days later, He came out of the grave. And He was made heir of all things as Mary's Son. Everything belongs to Him today in His human nature. And it gets even sweeter than that. You and I are joint heirs with Him. So everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Wouldn't y'all listen to somebody that loves you enough that they would leave heaven's pure world and come down here and suffer immeasurably for you? Why would you not want to give the more earnest heed to the things which He has said? Now, if you're given to anxiety and fear and worry and you have panic attacks and anxiety attacks and the gospel doesn't help you, you need to go to the doctor. Because you got something medically wrong with you that the gospel can't help you with. But I tell you, a lot of the trouble and anxiety God's people are having today could be fixed by giving the more earnest heed to the things right here in the blessed Word of God. Hide these scriptures in your heart. Memorize them and quote them over and over in your mind. When during one of the darkest seasons of my life, it went on, it seemed like forever, I would go to bed at night quoting Hebrews chapter 12. I'd quote it some nights 100 times before sleep would finally come, where the Apostle Paul said, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. You know what that sin is? It's not the sin of killing somebody or robbing a bank. The sin that easily besets us is the sin of doubting God, living in unbelief and in fear. And I'd quote that over and over and over in my mind. And sweet peace would come. And oh, my friends, I just wish I could tell you today what the Word of God has done in my life. And He would go on to say, looking unto Jesus. And I'd look to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Now that'll help a troubled soul. That'll do you a whole lot more good than a bottle of Jack Daniels or a bottle of wine or a snort of cocaine. That'll fix your soul and satisfy you. And you'll wake up in the morning feeling good. The Word of God works. I've had days in my life when I would say at least 100 times, Lord, I trust You. I thought about that this morning. Brother Sonny was talking about Abraham. He didn't know where, he didn't know why, he didn't know when, but he knew God knew.
And I'd say over and over and over and over and over a thousand times, God, I trust you. I want to tell you, friends, you can trust God. You can't put trust in man. Men will let you down. Even if they're good men, they can die on you. But I want to tell you, our God can be trusted. And I want to encourage everybody in the house today to lean on the everlasting arms and to find comfort in the God who has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my what? My helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Yes, we live in troubled times. Brother Chris has outlined a lot of the troubles of our time. But I believe that by the grace of God and the righteous living of His children on this earth, this country could be turned around. Now, it would be a job, but I believe, brothers and sisters, it could happen. What do y'all believe today? I don't want to give up on this country. I still believe it's the greatest country in the world. And I've had the privilege of going to a lot of other countries. I've never been anywhere like America. It's incredible what we have in this country. But I believe a lot of it is the result of the influence of the Word of God on our founding fathers, our Constitution. It didn't happen by accident. Brother Obey says the reason Africa is in such poverty today is, number one, a lack of influence of the Word of God being rightly divided. Number two, there are corrupt leaders down there. I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, the Bible, if you could put on a graph, if you had some way of putting on a graph the influence the Bible has had in America, we'd all be shocked out of our minds. We have lived in a land of open Bibles. How blessed we are. And I'm going to encourage all of us today to trust in the Lord, to lean on the everlasting arms, to put our confidence in Him, and to know that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Yes, sir. God hasn't promised to take all the troubles out of our life. He's given us grace to bear it. That's what He told Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. And it is. I don't know what your life has in store for you down the road. I'll tell you how I like to look at the future. I like to look at the future this way. There's just no telling what wonderful blessings God has in store for me down the road. Instead of getting into my thinking brain and trying to think about all the bad things that could happen. And the devil wants us there. Do y'all hear me now? He wants you to get into your, try to reason it all out. I'll tell you one way to go crazy is try to figure out all the troubles in this world. Try to figure it all out. That's the best way I know to get confused. Another good way to go crazy is try to change people. You can't change people. If you're in the business of changing somebody today, good luck, brother. And I don't believe in luck. I've tried to change a few in my life, didn't have any success at all. You can't change people. What you can do is change yourself by the grace of God. And get your mind stayed on Him. The Bible says He'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. May the God of heaven today help us to live by faith, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will what? He will direct thy paths. You've got a heavenly GPS program in God. He knows the way for us to go. May we trust Him and lean on Him and confide in Him. And I'll tell you what, I'm one of those that believes that the Primitive Baptist Church can be better off this time next year if we'll commit ourselves to it. I'm not ready to preach our funeral. What about y'all? I know we're struggling now, but I tell you, times can get better, folks. If we'll love the Lord, love the church, pray and call on God and ask Him to send people to us, God can bless in mighty ways. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not nearly ready to give up on the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm more excited about being a Primitive Baptist today than I've ever been in my entire life. And I've been a member since I was 15 years old. And I'm 58. You can do the math. I'm excited about the church of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the truth. I'm excited about being here today. I'm excited about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get weary in well-doing, folks. Don't get lukewarm. Don't get sleepy. Don't get scared. And don't give up. Never quit. It's always too soon to quit. Now, I got to quit this sermon. You know, we have an afternoon service at Vestavia every... So I'm used to afternoon preaching. We had a little boy the other day, looked at his grandmother in the afternoon service and said, "Grandmother, Brother Sammy said he was going to quit and he's still preaching." I had a second closing that day. I don't want to do that today. May God bless you and thank you for your afternoon attention. May the Lord bless this church and your dear pastor and your labors in His kingdom.